All right, we are in Erevin Daf Mem Vav. We're talking about the concept of Nolech. Erevin Daf Mem Vav, for those who remember, was discussing rain. Is rain considered Nolech? Now, we've already talked a bunch about different situations that could or could not be Nolech, depending on how you define it. Today, what we're going to look at is one of the main sources to how the Achronim, the Poskim, actually define it. That does not mean that it's a clear source, right? Oftentimes, when it comes to learning, and when it comes to trying to apply old opinions, opinions of commentaries to modern situations, so it doesn't always equate perfectly, and therefore it's not always a unanimous decision about how to apply things. This is one of those sources that even when I read it, I don't know how everyone reads it the way that they do. Some read it this way, some read it that way, okay? We talked last week, and it really had to do with tchum and whether or not rain sort of established itself in a specific location before Shabbos, and therefore could it be considered to be inside or outside of the tchum? Do you even define it that way? Is rain considered nolech? Right, whether it's already Mutz. Okay, so that's the top line of the Gemara. Kol Shekein Tehava Luhu Nolech, right? That's the Gemara in the middle. If you can see it there. Kol Shekein Tehava Luhu Nolech Da'asiri. So surely it should be Mukta regardless. You should not be able to take water anyways because it's already Nolech. It didn't exist. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Meaning it was in the clouds, and now it's on the earth. Right. Is it considered mukta, right? This is a category, new type of category called nola. So, right, because remember that mukta is all about whether or not I can prepare for it beforehand. Right? Is this in my mind? Is it considered to be already assumed to be usable, or because it doesn't exist yet, I can't prepare it. So now the Gemara is saying that it's nolad, and therefore, if you look at Rashi at the top, kol shekein tahavaluhu nolad ba'asiri, afilu l'talplan bimkoman, even to move it where it is. You can't move it, regardless of where it came from, where it started, whatever. It's nolad, it came into existence on Shabbos, and therefore, you can't touch it. Nolad is something you can't possibly prepare for it because it didn't exist. You can only prepare things that are, investigatable, the things that you can see. If you can't see it, so then it's not considered usable, which makes it, by definition, it's considered mukta. Now, if you look at Tosfos at the top, this is the main source. Tosfos, top left. Right, you can see it there. It's Dibur Hamasal Kol, basically means that it is that's the title Kol Shekein. It's really just a way to refer to it. Dibur Hamasal, which is the phrase that starts it. That's how it translates Dibur Hamasal. That's what it's called. The title says Tosfos V'af Agaf Demashkin Bepere Mashkin Bepere. Anyone know what that means? Mashkin. A mashka, right, a drink, a fruit drink. What's a fruit drink? The juices that are inside of a fruit. Ah, juices in a fruit. Are those similar or dissimilar to rain?
I would say not.
Okay, good. And therefore, it should be preparable, right? I can look at this fruit and assume that there are juices in it, even if I can't see it. I should be able to say, whatever's inside this fruit, I'm going to eat it. Okay? So it tells us... You don't have to, because we hold the Rebbe Shimon, that everything's assumed to be usable, right? Now, right. When we ask the question, is it preparable or if it's not preparable, we're asking sort of like how to classify it. Once we classify it like that, so then you're good to go. The question is, how do we classify it? So when I look at a fruit, the juice is inside of it, and therefore I can prepare it. Can I see a cloud the same way?
No, not every cloud.
I mean, every cloud is by definition full of water.
Really?
I mean, that's how you make clouds.
Okay.
Now, there are clouds, there are rain clouds, and there are non-rain clouds, but they're still made of water.
Okay.
So the question is, if I can see a fruit, and I can say anything inside that fruit, I'm going to eat it, I'm going to drink it, whatever it is. So why can't I look at a cloud and similarly say, anything that's in that cloud, I'm going to eat it, I'm going to drink it?
Because you might have learned by now.
Okay, so maybe it's not yours. So let's say you go to a friend's house, and that friend surprises you with some fresh orange juice. You didn't know you were going to have that, so you'll have to drink that juice?
They did.
Oh, they knew it. So does that help for you? Okay, good. Maybe. So again, we're talking about classification. If something is usable, even in theory, right, just because something is stowed away in your cabinet and you haven't thought about it in months doesn't mean it's mukta, right? It could still be classified as, you know, and you don't know if you're going to use it or you're not going to use it. The same way you don't know if you're going to get rain or you're not going to get rain. It's still potentially usable.
Let's say you do know you're going to get rain, and you say, you know, rain's going to collect in my basin out here, and you could use it.
You knew about it.
And you say, you know, rain falls and it's in my basin, I'm
right.
Scoop it up.
Right. So then the question becomes, when we talk about preparation, when we talk about what is and isn't usable, do I have to have the tangible thing in order for it to be prepared? Can you prepare for something which is not in front of you, which is not, doesn't even exist? Can you prepare for something that doesn't exist?
No.
You can prepare for the situation, but you can't prepare the thing. You can't really prepare the thing. And that's really what's at the core of this Gemara, which is the water in that cloud tangible or intangible? Is it accessible or inaccessible? Not in the practical sense, in the theoretical sense. Is it yours? Is it coming down? Is it something you can prepare? Let's say you've got some kind of, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a situation, of a safe which is on a timer. And that safe only opens on whenever the timer runs out. So inside of that safe is a nice piece of steak. Okay? And it just so happens that the timer is going to go off Shabbos morning. So now, let's call it, what's it called? Little stick, jerky. Staying in the safe, okay? So it's jerky. You love your Shabbos afternoon jerky. That's your thing. You know, you're...
Why do you keep it in your stuff?
Yeah, exactly. You don't want anybody else to touch it. But it's going to be locked up. You cannot access it until Shabbos afternoon. So is that considered prepared? You don't have access to it. Presumably, you'd say, of course, that's yours. It's in the safe. So, like, why not? Maybe you can't touch it. Maybe you can't hold it. You can't retrieve it right now, but it's still yours. It's still on your property. It's still something which you can hold in theory. So can we say the same type of thing about the rain? So look at Tosos here. So Tosos asks this question about fruit. Why is it any different from fruit juices? And he brings it from an interesting place. The afagaf b'mashkin b'peirei nami amrinan b'psachim. When it comes to the juices of a fruit, we also say in psachim daflam and gimel amid beis, the mivla b'li'i, that the juices are subsumed. Mivla b'li'i means balua. I think we talked about that word last week, or last time. It is subsumed. It's enveloped. It's inside. Meaning, it's like the water in a sponge. You don't see the water, but it's there. You can't see it, though. That water is subsumed within it. Afilu hachi, that's what the Aleph Pehe means, afilu hachi, nonetheless, lo mitzri, it is not prohibited, mishum nolad, because of nolad. It's not prohibited because of, why not? Why is it not prohibited because of nolad? Now, Tosos says, by the way, it's still a problem, but not because of Noah. It's a problem. Ilo gazrin and shema yischot demayim ba'avim bleeds ve. Basically like this. Tosos is implying a question. It's sometimes hard to decipher what Tosos is saying. When Tosos uses the words vi'af al gav, and even though, he He's implying a question. Right? He's implying, wait a second, how is it different from the fruit? The fruit, we don't say that it's nolad. Why is it that by the fruit we don't say it's nolad? How do we know, first of all, that by the fruit we don't say it's nolad? Tosafot is bringing what's perhaps up for discussion. The Gemara in Pesachim Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, we're not going to look at it inside, but the Gemara says, you're not allowed to take juices from that seep out of fruit on Shabbos. You're not allowed to. Why not? It's not because of nolad. At least according to the Gemara says, because we're worried you're going to come to squeeze the fruit itself. Which is interesting, it depends how it applies, there are different types of fruit that are more or less stringent about that. But, says Tosfos, that's what the Gemara says the reason is because we're worried you're going to come to squeeze the fruit. You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say anything about nolad. Now you and I would look at that and say, well, maybe it doesn't need nolad if it's already offering, if it's already prohibited, because that's what, it could be also nolad, but never says, that's not how the Gemara works. If the Gemara wants to tell you that something's prohibited, it'll tell you. At least according to Tosfos, the fact that it doesn't say it means that it doesn't apply. And when it comes to a fruit, the juices that are inside of that fruit are not nolad. They might be usher for a different reason, but they're not nolad. So Tosfos' implied question is, what gives? Why buy the fruit with the juices inside? Is it not nolad? And when it comes to the clouds with the rain inside, we're considering here the Gemara is saying that it's nolad. So why would it be nolad? So Tosfos explains, the dalad there is a giveaway. I know Bacha always likes to learn these tricks. But the dalad in demayim, the third line down in the sixth word of the line, di is an exclamation, because. Sometimes the dalad can be a because. Demayim ba'avim b'li'itfe, because the water in the clouds are b'li'itfe. Tfe means more. Bli, we already said. Bli means subsumed. They're even more subsumed. And then Tosfos with a greater definition here. Ve'ena nikarin kemo mashkin mepire. And they are not nikarin. What is nikar? Like a hecker? Anyone know the word hecker? Hekera? Lahakir? To recognize. It's less recognizable. When the rain is in the clouds, I don't see it up there. But if I took this grape and I opened it up, I'd see some juices. You see the moistness coming out of it. You open up your orange and you know there's moisture there. You can see it. Now it's subsumed just like the rain cloud, but you don't see it. So it says Tosfos, when you have something, and this is definitional, right? So Tosfos is, through this conflict, through this tension, he's giving us the insight of what is the definition of nolad. He's got to make this to think this is classic Tosfos, right? Tosfos takes Gemara to say, wait a second, these two things don't work together. There must be a definition that accounts for how this goes this way and this goes that way. So what is that definition that accounts for both of them? So he says Tosfos, it's got to be something which is subsumed in order for it to be nolad, in order for it to be prohibited. It's got to be subsumed, really subsumed, not just like a moisture in a fruit, really subsumed, and it also has to be unrecognizable. Unrecognizable. That's how Tosfos says it at the beginning. This is his first definition of nolad. Just to read that again. Demayim ba'avim b'li'itve, ve'ena nikarin k'mo mashkin b'pire. That water in the cloud is more subsumed, and it's not recognizable like the moisture in the fruit. Va'afilu lo hayu nikarin mashkin b'pire klal. And even if it were the case that the juices of the fruit were not recognizable, let's say you've got some kind of impenetrable, let's say it's a pomegranate, the hard shell, right? In the orange, you could squeeze a little bit. I'm just trying to come up with ways he's thinking about this. The orange, you could squeeze a little. The grape, you can feel the moisture. It oozes out. A pomegranate, you can knock on it all day. You're never going to get the juices out of those seeds. It just doesn't happen. So says Tosfos, even in that case, even v'afilu lo hayu nikarin mashkin b'peri klal, you look at that pomegranate, it looks like a ball. It looks like a solid mass. There's no, you don't see any, it's just like a rain cloud. You don't see any moisture there. Nonetheless, says Tosfos, lo chashivi nolad, it is not considered nolad, kevan d'me'ikara nami have ochel, because originally it is itself food. It's edible. And therefore, uchlad d'ifrasu, even if this fruit, I can't see it, The whole thing is a piece of food. The rain cloud is not a piece of food. It's only really food when it comes down. Now, it's unclear what Tosfos means by this. You could take this in different directions. You say again?
It's apples and clouds.
Apples and clouds, right. Apples and oranges, apples and clouds. Apples and clouds. So, when you look at it, when you look at the grape, as you said before, that's edible. You're going to eat it. You're thinking of eating. The whole thing is food. When you look at a rain cloud, so first of all, it's more, even more subsumed. You can't see the water at all. And thirdly, more importantly, according to Tosfos, because even if you don't have the first two, the third one trumps, which is, it's got to be something that's edible. It's got to be something edible that you could already use. Edible or usable. It's got to be usable already. I think that's going to be important because for other situations which are non-food situations. But you look at that cloud.
How would people even think the cloud is something edible? You know what I'm saying?
Because there's a liquid inside of another thing.
There's a liquid inside. But
yeah.
Nobody would think.
Yeah, that's why we have Tosfos. That's why we have Tosfos to come up with these questions. So now we have even a greater definition from Tosfos, that not only does it have to be, in order for it to be prohibited, does it have to be subsumed, not only does it also possibly become nolad if it is unrecognizable as a juice, as whatever, as usable, it also has to, in order for nolad to be appropriate, it has to be unusable meikara. Its origin has to be unusable. In this case, he's saying inedible. So this might all sound somewhat esoteric or theoretical. So let's bring it back to our favorite example. What about a newspaper? What about a newspaper? Is it subsumed? It's not the same kind of thing, right? It's not like it's something within something else. But is it hidden? Is it nikarin? Is it recognizable? You don't see a newspaper. But you do see all of the elements of the newspaper. If you walk over to the ink, you could see the ink. That might be in a receptacle, similar to a fruit, but the ink is there. And is the paper available? Yeah, the paper's available. I can see the paper. But is it usable? Is it usable from before Shabbos? That's where it becomes really tricky. Because according to Tosfos, the definition of nolad comes about when it comes to the fruit juices, if it is part of that usable thing from beforehand. Is it part of the usable thing, the fruit and the grape? Yeah, that's usable right now. I could eat it right now. Later on, it'll separate from its actual food and become a juice, but I could use it right now. It's already usable. It's not in the state of being that it will be, but it's already usable. Is the ink and the paper usable in the way that it is right now? That's where it gets murky. Right. Can I use that thing? Can I use that thing? Now, it's not my rishus, it's not my domain, that's a separate problem. Let's assume for a moment that that's not what we're talking about. Let's assume that's an independent question.
Well, we're talking about a newspaper that comes on shop.
Yeah.
Okay.
So is that newspaper considered nolad? It's a hard question to answer, and the poskim are split about that. Some will say it is, some will say it isn't. And it comes down partially to this question. Now, whether or not the thing is considered usable beforehand. When it comes to the juices, when I eat that grape, I'm going to drink the juices too. But there's not much that I can do that I would want to do with a bunch of separate ink and paper. Just not, you know, if I had, you know, if I were to ask you, you know, I don't know if people here are fans of fountain pens. I became a fountain pen guy, you know, at Avi Snyder's wedding, because you know, at weddings, as a Masada's vision, has to have something of importance that they can hold up like that. And I didn't really have anything, so I thought, okay, I'm going to be a pen guy. So I got these fancy, not that expensive, but they're fancier. At least they're significant. The point is that in order to fill up these pens, you have to have ink. So I have in my basement an inkwell. You know, you sort of like you scoop it up into the thing, you put it into the pen, whatever. So am I allowed to touch that ink on Shabbos? Now it's a weird question because really it's already problematic because it's what we would call klisha malato iser or mukta machmas iser. The only thing I'm going to use that as ink for is for writing.
Right.
So, but even if that wasn't the case, would it not be considered like sticks and stones? It's completely useless to me. The ink is just completely useless to me. So when I look at a paper factory, you know, a newspaper factory, what's the local newspaper? Detroit News? If I look at the Detroit News, you know, in industrial building, and I look over at that ink, I'm like, is that usable at the beginning of Shabbos? Am I going to use that like I use the juices inside of a grape? Presumably not. It's a different thing. So you can see where that, but at the same time, it's usable if it was on a paper, right? If it was on a paper, then I'd use it. And if it was already used in some other place in my house, then that ink would be usable also. So it really comes down to whether or not it's usable, but also whether or not what's the definition of preparable. What we can find, however, is that the rain is a similar question. Because even though, as Tosfos is saying here, it's unrecognizable or less recognizable, and it is inedible at the beginning of Shabbos because it's all the way up there, does that make it unusable? If it was here, I could eat it. I could drink it. But it just happens to not be here. So then that's the question. And Tosfos does not really give us his ultimate answer for it. Hold on. Hold on. Yeah. So this is where I struggle, because people point to this Tosfos and the definition of Tosfos specifically for rain to say that you can have rain on Shabbos. You can use the rain on Shabbos. And I don't know if you still have the paper, but if you go back to the Beitza one, the one which looks like this. So Tosfos similarly asks a question based on this Gemara in Kasaka Daitin. So lo makati inish mai de chazilei aval binolad lo havi yad miyatsmo. The person didn't know about it at all. V'tema de ha Rebbe Shimon de shari mukta shari binolad kidamrin b'shabbos. Rebbe Yehuda Omer in masikin b'shiri kelim Rebbe Shimon master afagat to havi nolad. It sounds like Rebbe Shimon is okay with nolad. V'yeshlomar de lo dummy. The high nolad dach, this is the first wide line of Tosfos on that page, the first page of Beitza. The high nolad dahacha have nolad tsfei. The case of the chicken egg is even more nolad. It's even more unrecognizable. It's even more subsumed, and it's even more inedible. Shemitzchila lo haya ba'olam. It didn't even exist yet. Aval hasam hakli haya ba'olam. In that case, we're talking about vessels that break on Shabbos. So those vessels, yeah, they broke, but they were already there beforehand. They might not have been in that state. They weren't broken plates, they were full plates before Shabbos started. But the thing was there, it existed. So maybe in that case, Rabbi Shimon says, you don't have to worry about Noah, it's not Muktzah. But in the case of the chicken, so the egg is inside the chicken. You don't even see it, you don't even know it's coming. You might theoretically assume maybe it's coming, but you don't know that it's coming. And so too with the rain. The rain is completely out of your domain. It's completely out of your psyche. You don't know that the water is coming. And that's why the Gemara says that it should be nolad, the water in the cloud. That was the top line of the Me'erivin that we just saw. Why would it be that the Gemara even asks that? Why don't we just say, oh, that's Rebbe Shimon, he doesn't hold of nolad with a cloud. But the Gemara doesn't say that in Erevin. The Gemara says other things about how it's not a tchum problem, whatever. But according to Rebbe Shimon, if we say that Rebbe Shimon really doesn't hold of nolad, so then just say that. But it never says that. So says Tosfos, Rebbe Shimon must hold of nolad against what we have, the implication of our Gemara. Implication of the Gemara in Shabbos. Ella vadai hainu taima kidaprishis, says Tosfos in the last line here. It's as we said before, kevan debli'i, because it is subsumed within the cloud, lo hayu klal ba'olam. It is not in the world at all. Va'afil Rebbe Shimon mode dehainu le'aser. And even Rebbe Shimon would say that rain is therefore prohibited because it is nolad. It does not exist. As I said before, some people look at the definition of Tosfos here and say that therefore rain should be allowed. I don't know how. He clearly says Rabbi Shimon will make it, say that it's null and it's aser. It could be based on the context of the Gemara in Erevin, but certainly it sounds like from Tosfos that it would be aser. However, I didn't bring you the sheets here. However, there are certainly opinions that say otherwise. There are opinions that tell us that nolad for the rain is not a problem. Maybe for other things it's a problem, but for rain it's not a problem. And for that, I'm going to go get a Mishnah Berura and I'll read it for you explicitly. Okay, let's see how the Mishnah Berurah defines this here. Boar. So the Shulchan Aruch is talking about different kinds of water. Boar shall yachan harehu karagli ba'alav. This is basically essentially the Gemara in Erevin. It depends whose water it is, etc. Okay. I'm trying to find the source where he talks about the actual concept of water. Hold on. I thought it was here. Show me your idea of young folks who may ever close your shirt in the air. I thought it was here. Gone. Pretty confident that it was here, and now I can't find it. Okay, I think this is it. Hold on. My mechunasin memei gishamim oshlagim myri diil v'be'er mayim novim kmo be'eros shelanu. No, that's not it. He was making a good distinction that would have helped, but it doesn't say it. Give me 1 second. I thought it was 30. Maybe it's 13? I don't think so, though. Yeah. Okay. I don't think I'm going to find it here, even though I was really confident that was 397.30, but this is talking about water, but not what I want to talk about. All right, I apologize for that. But the suffice it to say that plenty of opinions, including the Mishnah Berurah, the Beis Yosef, I think even the Torah, says that water is not a problem of Nola because it already exists before Shabbos. And while you don't see it in Tosfos itself, because Tosfos himself is trying to make a distinction why it would still be a problem for the water in the clouds, even if it's not a problem for the water, for the juices in the fruit. The definition, you can see where it is flexible. Because as we said before, even if the juices are readily accessible and the water in the cloud is not readily accessible, we know that it's there, right? Sort of like the jerky case in the safe. So Tosfos in the end says that Rabbi Shimon would say that it's aser, and that's the implication of the Gemara in Erevin. But even within that definition, you could see how somebody were to say, even with his own definition, the water in the cloud is there, it's tangible, I just can't eat it right now, but it is edible, right? It might not, so for instance, like the grape case, I might not be aware of the grape, I might not be aware of the juices, but On Shabbos, if I find a grape that happens to be in my cabinet, I can eat it. Just like I didn't know about it, or I didn't think I had one, or I couldn't access it beforehand, and now I can, so too the water that's in the clouds, I can't access it right now, but it's still, if I had it, if I knew about it, if it was here, then I'd be able to have it. That's how I believe we come down the halakha. There are others that will look at this post and say, what are you talking about? Clearly he says that it's usher. There are other achronim that that sound like it's usher. But all in all, we generally pass at least by the rain that it's going to be much, it's going to be usable, and that therefore you are allowed to collect rain, and you are allowed to use the rain after you collected it, because it's not considered brand new. It's not considered brand new. The question really becomes snow. Snow is an interesting added question, because whereas rain is definitely usable, what is snow usable for? Not much use to snow, and in combination with the fact that it could be nolad, but more importantly with the fact that it is useless, so Rav Moshe actually is machmir about snow. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that snow, as opposed to rain, comes down in an unusable form. Unusable form. Now you could use it, but it's clearly not as usable as rain. So there are different aspects of emotion. Maybe we'll see it inside. But hopefully, there's a small crash. We're not going to go further here. But hopefully, in the coming weeks, we'll delve into a couple practical situations. I hope to find some responsa, some actual tshuvas, where people were asked, "What about this thing? Is this Noah?" And as we talked about the newspaper, maybe we'll look at a tshuva in a newspaper. And as we talked about snow, maybe we'll look inside snow chuvas, but those are pretty straightforward.
So I have a question.
Do you have any other, any other example?
About,
okay.
I have a
there's a fascinating extrapolation from the concept of nolad, which is called molid. Molid is the concept that you are creating something anew. It's unclear what exactly the problem of molad is. It really is not clear. Some will say that it's a makab patish thing. You're sort of finishing off the process. Generally, when it comes to freezing something, we are lenient about it, especially with water. Especially with water. This is the great leniency for the Young Israel Book Park slurping machine. How can you do that? How can we make slurpers on Shabbos? So, honestly, if it was, you know, all else being equal, and we're trying to cover all of our bases, it's not the best thing to do. But there's what to rely on, especially Rav Moshe, who explains that while the frozen water changes form and looks different and new, if you leave it to its own devices, it'll turn back into water. So you're not really creating something anew as much as you are changing its form temporarily. And that's why he's leaning. We can look at that on the inside. But that's the problem of molid. What molid is the concept of creating something new. Not in terms of makom hapatish, but in terms of bringing something else into existence that didn't exist before in terms of its form, not in terms of its thing. Obviously, creating something new is makom hapatish. Mm-hmm. But something which you're changing its form, is that not a problem of molid? It mostly comes up by ice and water. There's a question by snowballs. Can you make a snowball? Because then you're crushing the ice and the water's coming out of it. Mm-hmm. So you're creating water. But generally, we're not machmer about that. It's just like we're not machmer about putting ice cubes into drinks, because you don't really use the water for being water. You use the ice cube for making something cold. And you don't see the water. You don't use the water. Your intention is not to make the water. Your intention is completely different than that. So we're generally lenient about molid because it's not a real malacha. And because, especially when it comes to ice, you're not really changing it in a permanent way. So, Mirza Hashem, we'll look at some tshuvas, if I can find some good ones, so we'll look at them together, and try to apply the rules of Tosfos here. Again, it's so hard to take the rule of Tosfos and apply it in a concrete way, which is what I started with. Everyone looks at the Tosfos as the main definition of nolad, but not everyone agrees with how you can apply it and how flexible these three categories are. Is it subsumed, in the case of water or juice? Is it recognizable, and is it usable already from before Shabbos? All right, Mirza Hashem, we'll continue with that. Hopefully we get some people back to join us on the continued discussion. But I wish you have a good night. Good week.